Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. That was just Teen. That's T-E-N, all caps. Sleep is noise. You can find them Teen the Band. We were trying to like find for like Teen Williamsburg Band, but if you look teentheband.com, that's where you'll find them.
Or tweens.
No. By the way, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz, staring at the... How was the Golden Globes? You fall asleep?
They were so boring. I was so excited and they were so boring. They did not make enough jokes.
Anyway. Staring at Greg Bresnitz. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We have Teen on live to play later in the day, but right now we have founder, City Grit?
Founder.
Well, there's a business partner in the bio, founder of City Grit. The brains. Yeah, you can pull that closer.
Yeah.
Get in there.
We have Sarah Simmons. I like this bio line. Southern girl next door who grew up in the kitchen, lost her way as a teen, and became a self-proclaimed fat kid.
I was such a fat kid.
How fat were you?
I was so fat.
By the way, self-proclaimed is you just like taking back the fat kid title?
I'm owning that.
Okay.
I was a fat kid. And the sad thing is that I didn't know I was a fat kid until we moved, because I lived in the same town until I was 14, and kids are just different when you're always chubby.
When you slowly get fat over time.
Right. Well, I did have like two bad
years. What was the guilty thing?
It's not, I have a very slow metabolism, and I played tennis my whole life, and I got hurt, and so then I wasn't playing for 2 years.
Still eating like a pro athlete?
No. My best friend just, we ate like Taco Bell after school every day.
Right. Poor, just like.
She could eat it, and I couldn't. I didn't realize that.
Just poor eating. And plus the South. Ribs.
Yeah, well, greens. We didn't really, I mean, we ate pretty healthy in my house, but.
Taco
Bell is the killer.
That fourth meal will get you late at night.
No.
So how did you take back the title of?
So we moved to South Carolina, and that's when I realized I was the fat kid, because then I was the new kid.
Yeah.
And then I decided I wasn't going to be fat anymore, and I started running and watching what I was eating, and that's.
Really did your is that I, when you learned how to start that, cooking?
No, I've been cooking all my life, but it's just when I started cooking different things.
Can I ask? And I know
you can't ask.
Did your popularity gain as the weight dropped?
No, because I'm so fun that I was always popular. But
okay.
You're bucking like a ton of trends here.
Yeah.
These are like...
I wasn't insecure. I just didn't... I was like, oh, wait, I'm fat. I'm going to not be fat anymore. And so that's...
God.
Yeah.
If you ever put out a cooking book or like a diet book, it should be, I'm fat, wait, I'm not going to be fat anymore. Yeah.
Healthy. Does that mean I have to get fat again?
No. You've already done it.
You've already done the hard work.
You've done it.
You don't need you can do that like kind of blurry like photo from your past. It's like not digital.
Oh, you know there are thing? No more. They have all been destroyed. Oh,
okay. Well, you can get a how about like a character artist, like one of those, just like a redrawing. Like,
oh, yeah, with the big head and the tiny-ish body.
Yeah.
So you've always loved cooking.
I've loved to cook, yes.
What was your
grandmother, mother, who was it?
Mother.
Father? What type of food she cooked?
What'd she teach you how to cook?
Well, she taught me all of the basics, like how to saute and how to braise and how to make all of the basic sauces.
Like the French classic?
Mm-hmm. Like bechamel, which may have been why I was a fat kid.
Mornay. Yeah. Every morning.
Eggs Benedict, just like, till you get it right, you have to eat your mistakes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. She would be mortified.
But she was a good cook.
She's really good. She owned a catering business when I was a child, so I got to learn how to make tiny things perfectly about 1,000
deviled
times.
Eggs?
Deviled eggs. These things, we serve them sometimes called hot olive puffs, and it's a green olive and a cheese pastry. I probably rolled 20 million of them in my lifetime.
So, I mean, you were kind of destined with the skill set from the get-go. So what was the thing that but you and your mom would just bake or cook just the two of you when it wasn't for like 200 strangers eating like pigs in a blanket?
Well, it's just a lot of chicken salad, really.
Okay, a lot of chicken salad. Christini's? A lot of Christini's?
I don't know. I don't remember. I wasn't allowed to use the knife. I was 6 years old.
Oh, okay. Wow, child labor.
Totally.
So you've always cooked, and then you moved out of the South, and then you started eating out. When did you fall into love? When do you were like, I want to cook. I want to be a chef.
Well, every time I would, in my professional career, come to a crossroads where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, I would always want in my brain, in the perfect world, I would want to open a restaurant or do marketing for restaurants.
So you're a second actor, as we like to say. act-er, like a second act of the profession?
Yes.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
When did you finally put down the computer and pick up the knife?
It was...
Which is also the second title of your second book. Putting down the computer and picking up the knife by former fat kid.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
These are all freebies.
Note to self, update bio quickly.
Yeah.
It was 2010. I was writing a book on... I was a retail strategist. I was writing a book on retail, taking 6 months off to do some of that research. And I won a contest with Food & Wine magazine. And it was one of those moments in time where it opened up a lot of doors for me. And so it was now or never. And
this what did you win the contest with?
They were having a contest... looking for the nation's best home cook, and I won.
What was
your recipe?
Yeah,
it was not about one recipe. It was about our point of view on food, and I luckily had a lot of content because I've been having dinner parties at my house for 6 years, every other Sunday, and so I had a lot of blogger friends, and you know, there's a lot of Flickr photos. It was really easy to submit a lot of this content. And
there wasn't any one that you felt like this is going to seal the deal?
No, I think it was just that I was aggressive with using different flavors and stuff that you wouldn't probably find in a home kitchen.
What's an example?
Yeah.
Like my use of balsamic reduction and ice creams and desserts. I think they found that.
And you got labeled the home cook superstar.
Superstar.
Did they give you a jacket or at least?
No, I was so disappointed.
Like chef's coat or anything like that?
What did they give you? They gave me a trip to the Cayman Islands for the Cayman Cookout, where I got to hang out with Eric Repair and Grant Achatz.
Silver Fox. And Grant Atkins?
And Grant Achatz and Jose Andres and Anthony Bourdain and David Chang and all for the weekend. All of them, every time they heard my story, they asked me, why aren't you doing something in food? And so I thought, okay, well, maybe I should try.
And so, the chef's superstars aligned.
Oh, my God.
Clever.
Thank you.
Hey. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's just soak that in.
Soak it in.
You feel proud of that?
Soak it in like a chicken and buttermilk.
Anyway, so from there, what was the obvious next step?
It wasn't obvious. I actually spent a lot of time just meeting with people.
Still 2010?
2000, yes.
Okay.
2010. So the contest technically was at the end of 2009. It was announced in 2010 in the beginning. And so I just did some traveling, met with a bunch of chefs. I knew I really didn't want to work in a restaurant, and I really wanted to make my own food. And so... I met with a bunch of people, and everyone I would meet with outside of New York would say, I would love to cook in New York one day.
Hmm.
I'm just waiting to get invited to the Beard House, or, you know, one of my friends said one day maybe we could do something at his restaurant, but it's, you know, I feel like it's really hard to cook in New York, but I would really love to do that. And so it made me, that's when the wheel started turning, and I started thinking about, well, how, maybe I can build a place where I cook sometimes and other people cook sometimes and give them the opportunity to cook.
I mean, it's really amazing because to do a pop-up inside of a restaurant here is so difficult and takes so much planning.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've really done is just like, yeah, just come cook.
Well, you've created infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
which is really tough.
Well, I mean, you can say that, yeah, come cook with all the things that are already in there, and it's easy.
It's easier.
Not
for
easy.
Them.
Yeah.
Well, how much, I mean, what's... Talk to us about the space. It's called City Grit. Okay. Culinary Salon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I imagine everyone's sniffing aperitifs and...
Right. And wearing really fancy sweaters.
Yeah.
Are they Nordic?
Sometimes.
Okay. So that sounds like I can fit in there.
Absolutely.
We can tell if your body washes ashore after a night of chef partying what restaurant you cooked in based on the knit.
Yes.
City Grit Knits.
Oh my gosh, another
idea.
You guys are just throwing out business models.
Yeah, this
today.
Is just how it works. Yeah. You leave here like richer.
Yeah.
That's
Please, can I come back next week?
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so
let's talk about the selection process.
No, let's talk about the space and then we'll take a break.
And then talk about, okay.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the cooking. So, what is the basics of the space?
The basics of the space is that it's the former Catholic school owned by St. Patrick's Cathedral that closed in 2010. And I started using the cafeteria kitchen for catering jobs. And they used the oldest classroom as a thrift store. And they decided they were going to get rid of the thrift store. So they said, do you want to use the thrift store as a dining space? And I said, that sounds like a great idea. And so then I met these guys that design and source furniture, and they had the same aesthetic as I do, and they're really awesome people. And I said, well, they were looking for a showroom, and I said, well, if you guys want to use the space during the day, knowing that I wasn't going to serve breakfast and lunch as a showroom, that'd be awesome, as long as we have 80 seats, and we'll use it at night as a dining space. So we split the rent, or they pay a portion of the rent.
It's amazing. And you can essentially come there, eat, and then buy the dining room.
Yes.
Which is
you
great.
You can buy your table.
You can buy it, yeah.
That's awesome.
And do you have to-go bags big enough for that, or is it?
No.
And do you have, like, an infrastructure as a kitchen with ovens, things like that? Mm-hmm.
So I turned the cafeteria kitchen and got all of the permits that a restaurant has, turned it into a commercial kitchen, and slowly added equipment and infrastructure in place to make it more like a restaurant.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to take a quick music break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about your cooking and the guest chefs and then how you can visit. Where is it?
On Prince, between Mott and Mulberry, 38 Prince.
It's awesome. I've been there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, there's events there.
We do.
No, like before.
Didn't they used to have like crazy art installations?
They still do that in the other part of the school.
Oh, they do? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
Temples that I built for you, and I sang songs of praise and love. And I sang songs of burying you alive. And see, I had to tear it down. Oh,
Man, Joe, your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
God, Sam Cooke. So he'll be on next week, right?
Yeah, he'll be here next week.
Yeah. So
that's your joke?
That's my joke. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about the selection process.
Hold on. Let's say that we're here with Sarah Simmons from City Grit, if you're just tuning in. And City Grit is a culinary salon in the... What part of town is that?
Nolita.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. So it's in Nolita. And let's talk about your cooking first.
Okay.
What sort of food are you putting up at this restaurant, seeing how you're sort of you're the base, you're the culinary base,
mm-hmm.
the foundation, the icing in the piping bag, right?
Right.
Okay.
My food is Southern inspired, so no matter what I'm making, whether I cook a lot of Asian food, I do some classic French dishes, it's always utilizing Southern ingredients. So, for instance, we're having a Chinese New Year's Eve dinner in the beginning of February, and next week I'll start to make kimchi using collards instead of cabbage and
right.
using a lot of bini seeds and some sorghum vinegars and soy sauces. And
right.
So more Southern ingredients than you would find in like a typical Asian dish.
And does that reflect on your growing up in the South, or is that you just are more drawn to those flavors?
It's ingredients that I've been cooking with all my life in one capacity or another. And so I just love them and I'm proud of them. And most of them are indigenous ingredients to the South and represent Southern food. And I'm trying to make people realize that Southern food isn't just fried chicken and ribs. And so,
but what if I only want to think of it?
That's part of the problem. We have this Sunday supper at the end of each month, and I've gotten myself now into a corner where I'm having to make fried chicken because it was like, oh, we'll just do this fried chicken once a month. And now I just can't not serve fried chicken because people expect
But isn't that okay once a month?
It's okay once a month, yes.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I think it's that thing, it's like you try and get away from what people love, and then you go, but people love it for a reason.
But that's what they want.
Yeah.
So
how do you balance that?
Well,
what people love versus what they want versus what you want?
You just try to make dishes that they will love that they don't know they love. Or...
Do you try and put familiar reference points in them?
Absolutely. So there's just, we elevate some dishes.
Right.
We have a really good play on shrimp and grits with soft shell crab and miso grits that people really loved. And it was one of the most popular dishes that we served last year. So it's just taking a similar reference point that is a dish that most people get really excited about and taking it in another direction. And then they're excited about it the next time they come and eat it, if we serve it.
How much of a consistent menu do you have?
That's the thing, is that you can never count on having, except for the fried chicken at the end of the month,
right.
You can't count on having that same dish every time because the menu changes every single time.
And so when guest chefs come in, how often are you changing the menu? Are you collaborating with them? Are you cooking alongside of them?
When they come in, they change. I mean, the menu is up to them. We work together on it. I give them some guidance based on what I think is easiest to execute and using our kitchen and our ingredients. I really try to give them free rein in terms of what they want to do. And then I help prep sometimes. I have a kitchen staff that does a lot of prep work with the chefs. But during service, I expedite from the kitchen.
Running the ship.
Well, trying to facilitate.
Facilitate?
Yes.
Do you ever, no names, butt heads with any of the guest chefs that have come in?
No.
Come on.
I did have an incident this weekend, but it was really a good friend of mine, so it was a little more dramatic and awkward because...
Right. There's no politeness.
Yeah. And he said my name, Sarah, and that is like the worst.
Yeah. I feel like when you have friends in the kitchen, that's when the trouble
But it was awesome.
Happens.
And it was really his sous chef, who's also a friend of mine, but we laughed about it all weekend.
Over 75 cocktails.
It was only 47.
So how do you get the process of getting in these guest chefs? And I'm sure like now that people know that they can come and easier or cook easily mm-hmm. in New York, that you must have like a laundry list of people that want to come and cook in the space.
Yeah, it's...
So how do you curate?
It's, well, hard if we don't know a lot of people that have been there, then I just go to that city, and then while I'm there looking at some guest, you know, those guest chefs that have inquired about cooking, I'll look at, you know, other people and reach out to people that I want to meet.
You travel to other cities to go find chefs?
I do. I mean, it's we're building this brand where we may not offer the same dishes consistently, but we offer a consistent experience, and we want to make sure that we're bringing in people that we think will resonate with our guests. And so sometimes you have to go to their place to check them out.
So how does that work for like building loyalty in customers?
Well, actually, I think that's been my biggest surprise, that I cannot even be more excited about it, is how many people come back consistently.
Right.
Because I was worried in the beginning that it was going to be hard to generate loyalty because of that. You know, there's restaurants I go to because I love that chicken dish.
Yeah, you want that one.
And I love this salad, and we can't offer you that. But it's been very impressive. We've had people that have come over 20 times in the past year, and one girl comes so much by herself because her friends aren't into food and she doesn't care, and she has been so many times.
Oh, is she nice? Does she need friends?
She doesn't need friends. Maybe she needs friends that
like food
because her friends just aren't into it.
So what's on the docket? What's coming up? What are you excited about? I know you can't pick your favorite children, but like pick one that you sort of love more than the rest.
Anthony Lamas, I'm really excited about him.
Those who don't know Anthony Lamas, please explain who he is.
He is just this amazing Latin chef out of Louisville. The food that he puts out is unlike anything that I would think that I would be eating in Louisville.
Yeah. He's been doing it for years, like 7 years now, mm-hmm. 8 years. Some people say it's the best new Latin flavors in America.
I would agree with that. I haven't had a lot of his food, but I do know a lot of people that have eaten there. I did have the most amazing pozole that he made at Border Springs Farm during Lamb Stock this year.
Lamb Stock?
Yeah.
What's Lamb Stock?
I knew that would get a reaction. My friend Craig Rogers is a shepherd, and he has a farm where every year he brings a bunch of winemakers and chefs and people in the food world together, and everyone camps out, and it's about 150 to 250 people, and there's all these chefs just make food, and it's just a party.
It's awesome.
And
then we're finally coming this week to the Francis Lamb dinner.
Cannot wait.
Will it be lamb?
No.
No, no one likes that
pun. No, I mean, just soaking it in. You're so proud of yourself with these jokes.
So what's Francis serving?
Francis is actually, I'm cooking. Oh. Francis is telling stories. So this year we're trying to do some new things with people that are in the food world, but not necessarily chefs. Mm-hmm. And so Francis, I know you guys know him. He's an amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
And he, after Hurricane Katrina, went down and helped with some relief efforts in Biloxi and met amazing people. And has some really great stories about their impact to the Biloxi food scene. And so he's going to share those stories. And for each person that he talks about, I'm going to make a dish that's inspired by their story.
Which is, can you give a preview?
Sure. So there's this one gentleman that he met from Croatia. And he talks about one of his favorite meals being a spicy shrimp spaghetti. His dad owned a shrimp cannery, and so it's more like a northern rustic Italian dish, but that to him means like Sunday Croatian dinner. So I'm making a version of that dish and serving it in like a little tuna can, because he tells the story also about one of his favorite childhood memories was working in the cannery and stealing the shrimp and snacking on them, which isn't very sanitary, but probably very delicious.
Yeah.
So
different time.
Right.
We will not be eating that as we are allergic to shellfish.
You are. Both of you?
Is this not a good meal to come to?
Probably not, because there's a lot of shellfish. We're doing a crawfish gratin.
Yeah, we're just, you know,
hey, guess what?
They just broke out in the hives, y'all.
Yeah, seriously. We'll be at the next one. I'm glad we asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and oyster stew.
Oysters we can eat. It's just shrimp, crab, lobster, and crawfish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We'll come to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Well, you can come to Anthony Llama's.
Oh, yeah. We should go to that one.
Okay.
All right. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
This was great.
Shout out to PR, who's eating pizza right now.
Yeah. How's that pizza?
Delicious. Thank you so much.
I'm glad we finally got this set up. It was really awesome. We will come and visit. And again, what's the address? What's all the info? Nuts and bolts? Is there a Twitter or website?
Twitter is City Grit. The website is citygritnyc.com. And the location is 38 Prince.
Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Awesome. We'll see you.
And we can't wait for your cookbooks to come out.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And sweaters.
You guys can write the forewords.
Done.
Done.
Which one do you want to write?
The fat kid
or the put down the
computer? Figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. We've got Teen coming up next. Thank you.
Well, Teen, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks for having me.
First musical guest of 2013.
Oh, sweet.
Couldn't be happier to be here. And Family Affair. Three sisters, one good friend, best friend, longtime acquaintance.
Kind of friend. Yeah, friend. Kind of friend. Kind we don't really friend. Like her that much.
Who's your best friend in the band? We don't want to start stirring
yeah. up. Jane Go, best
Mine?
Friend. Yeah. Name names.
Oh, we're kidding. Anyway, why don't you go around the room, introduce yourselves, say who you are, and who's the oldest.
I'm Lizzie. I'm the youngest.
I'm Jane.
I'm Teeny.
I'm Catherine. And I'm the oldest sister, but not the oldest in the band.
Oh, okay. So how did you decide to form a band of sisters and think that it was a good idea to work together?
I never thought it was a good idea. Just kidding. I was writing a lot of music that had so many harmonies and vocal parts that I kind of couldn't think of anybody else who would sing it better. So,
did you all grow up playing music together?
Yeah. Not instruments so much. Singing, though.
What, like chorus or just singing backseat of the car, road trips?
Well, our parents are both musicians, so we sang around a piano a lot.
What type of music did Mom and Dad make?
Our dad was a classical composer, and Mom was in like rock bands in the 60s and 70s.
That's awesome.
And folk
how,
music.
How did they meet?
How they meet?
Yeah.
That's a totally different
They both became Buddhists in the 70s, and they studied with the same teacher, and he kind of put them together. Matchmaker.
Yeah. Do your parents still perform?
Our mom is actually studying traditional American music now in Kentucky and is performing and doing that.
So guest parent vocals and piano playing on the next record?
Yeah, maybe. We have Mom. Yeah. She's a mandolin player.
Yeah. Auditions, obviously.
Yeah.
See if she makes the cut. But if she does, you know, love to have you.
Yeah.
Love to have you.
Right.
So you were writing songs your own, and then how did you incorporate the family, and is it now like a group writing process? Are you still writing?
I also was in Here We Go Magic, and so I was really busy, so I also needed people who were, they were also free, which was lucky. So, but now we write together.
Jane, are you involved in this too?
In the writing?
In the writing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm...
No, Jane's the only one who doesn't write anything.
I'm not singled out because I'm not a relative.
Well, we were just asking family questions. Now you're part of the family.
Yeah.
Aunt Jane.
I'm Aunt Jane.
Crazy Aunt Jane.
Yeah, absolutely.
why don't we hear a song?
Yeah.
And then we'll get into it. What are we going to hear?
In Limbo. Okay. Take it away, crazy.
Tug of war between three worlds we and all the happy pass us by.
Great. Now I can see why you brought in the family. So as a traveling family, how have you found traveling together and, you know, life on the road between the four of you? Is it easier now that you have, it's like, you know, growing up together versus, you know, strangers in a band when you were with Here We Go Magic?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's very different. The things that we tend to fight about.
Don't you mean the things you get along about?
Yeah, sure. That's the positive spin. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we bicker, but we get over things really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we work, too.
We never fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never fight. Yeah, but if we were to fight, the resolutions are a lot faster. There's no, like, simmering
type of thing. Exactly.
Except for the simmering that has existed our entire lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
things go from 1 to 10 really fast.
Yeah.
Right. But then it goes back. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And comparatively, you know, there's, when you don't know people as other people as well, you don't trust them. There's not that trust of, like, it can be resolved quickly. So you just kind of like, I don't understand why this person is acting this way.
Who leads the food adventures on the road?
Me.
Yeah. Jane?
Damien.
The food adventures?
Yeah.
We all kind of do.
I think, I'm pretty excited about that.
What do you eat? What are you drawn towards?
Just everything.
Food.
Oh.
Good food.
Okay.
We really do try and make an effort to eat well, and, you know, because there's so much crap. When you get into the middle of the country, it's just like, it's kind of sad.
Any memorable places?
Yeah, we're trying. Lizzie actually is trying to keep track of all of it so that we could possibly publish it in some form.
Vancouver.
Because it's really important for bands to know.
What's that market in
Boise,
Vancouver?
Idaho, there was an amazing, like, brunch spot that had, they made everything there, like, fresh baked goods and really good.
I would, really good eggs.
You would think by now that some band would have done this, but it's like, and I think, like, everyone has that idea.
Right.
But no one has, like.
Yeah. I just started, like, making a list of, I was recently in Nashville, and I found two, I don't remember their names, but I found two really good, like, cheap, like, inexpensive restaurants in Nashville, and then we were just in Massachusetts.
Wellesley, Mass.
And
we found really cool,
really
local.
Really awesome diner. I don't know. I think it's important.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, it's just, even if it's just, like, an open posting for, like, you and, like, 10 friend bands.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, like, post on, like, a Tumblr.
Something like that.
But it doesn't, unless someone listening has it and we're just all ignorant, I feel like they would have been like, oh, yeah, just, what was that one that Jamie was talking about? Road?
Yeah, there's, like, a.
Road food.
Yeah,
but. Michael Stern. But we went to Albany and they didn't really have, like, and Albany's pretty, that should be, like, you know, pretty good, but.
Right.
Something for bands where it's, like, where's that gluten?
The drummer from, Sharon Jones used to have one. That's all I got.
Yeah. But maybe, like, the place where it's like, well, yeah, we want that gluten-free vegan place when I'm stuck in Kansas, and someone's like, we found it.
Right. Because there are always options.
Yeah.
Usually.
Where was that Chinese place that we went to?
San Francisco.
No. And it was one of the first shows.
Oh, that was in Minneapolis.
And the guy who owned it, the rumor was that he had, like, invented the machine that made the fortune cookie.
No way.
Yeah, that place was.
And that's something that if
and
you,
that food was really,
it was really good.
And
you could
really
also send
cheap.
People there on, like, reconnaissance. It's like, oh, I heard something about a fortune cookie.
He sounds very fortunate to have that restaurant.
You weren't here for these terrible jokes earlier, but he's just continuing a theme. Why don't we get another song?
Okay. Let's do Huh. Huh? Yeah, this song is called Huh.
Problem.
Sorry.
One.
day. The color turns to night in a burnt up fly.
I mean, that worked. I know. Pretty good. Thanks. Pretty good timing on that little...
Small little blurb
at the end.
Yeah.
So, EP came out a while ago, and you've been playing some shows. You had a show at Barry this past week?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Hospitality.
It was good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's, like, your band that, like, I always see you paired with. It's, like, you and Hospitality. How does that work? Like, you know, just finding a soulmate band or stars aligned band or...
Well, they asked us to come on the road with them this fall. So we went out with them for a little over a month. And I don't know, we just clicked.
Sometimes when it's right, yeah. You don't question it.
Yeah.
So what's coming up for the future for you?
We're going into the studio in a couple weeks to record an EP. Then we're touring a little bit. We have a couple shows with Memory Tapes. Then we're doing an American tour, and then we're going to Europe. Southwest, and then Europe.
Yeah, I guess it's time to start asking that South By question.
Yeah.
You're going. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, are you excited?
Yeah, we haven't done it, so I'm excited for us to do it.
Do you have, like, are you going to go the selected show route or the let's play everything that comes our way route?
I think we're going to do more of the selected show route.
I mean, that's a good call. And who are you recording the EP with?
My friend Daniel at Strange Weather.
Nice.
It's in this new beautiful studio on Graham.
Graham
and Skillman, I think it is.
Don't want to give away too much information.
Yeah.
There's a studio in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's real nice. Are you one of the first EPs that's going to come out of there?
One of the first ones, yeah. They've recorded a couple projects, I think maybe four or five other, but they just opened in January.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And anything else you want to tell? Upcoming shows? Any New York shows coming up?
Yeah, we're playing Glasslands on February
5th or 6th?
6th. February 6th.
With who's all playing?
Huh?
Who else is playing?
Memory Tapes are opening.
So the Memory Tapes team.
Yeah.
February 6th-ish.
Glasslands.
Glasslands. Yeah. Love Glasslands.
Mm-hmm. Glasslands, yeah.
That venue to me is always like, if someone were to like, it's not from here, and they're like, take me to a Brooklyn venue, that would be like, oh, okay, just like the movies.
Right.
Crazy Glasslands. Like,
true.
I mean, it kind of, you know, it's like not like any other venue. They're all pretty straightforward here nowadays, but that's how I always felt about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
You want to give people the nuts and bolts where they can find you, find your work, maybe find how to Twitter or tweet at you?
Well, okay, Facebook. It's Teen the Band.
Okay.
Our Twitter is _T_E_E_N_. And
did you really have to throw in that last underscore? Was there like one that had...
It just looked better.
Oh, okay.
It's even.
Yeah. Okay, that makes
sense. It looks better.
If you can find it.
No, it's... Once the thing is, once you find it, it's there.
Once you find it, it's there.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, moving forward.
No, I mean, it's there on your Twitter. You don't have to plug that in every single time. And no, I don't know. If you put in an underscore first, there's not that many people with that.
That's true.
So.
Okay.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I wasn't totally stupid when I was doing it.
I remember, again, once you find it.
It's hard to find.
Yeah, don't
try. Once you find it, it's there.
Once you find it, it's there. It's actually the name of your new EP. I'm so happy you came to this conclusion here. Amazing. Well, we're going to get one more song for you.
Yeah. Paradise, comma, once you find it, it's there.
Yeah, paradise, comma, or semicolon, however you want to punctuate it. Thank you again. We will be back next week with another episode of Snacky Tunes with, I believe, MC Todd will be in the house.
Awesome.
Which will be amazing.
I'm a good food guest for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do
Todd. That's my middle name. Todd.
MC.
Wait, your middle name is Todd?
My middle name is Todd.
Mother's maiden name.
Oh, okay.
No, grandmother's maiden name.
Grandmother's maiden name. I'm glad we have your sisters here to confirm this. Wait, what do you have as middle names then? Any family?
Mine is my other grandmother's name, Brigida.
Brigida?
Brigita.
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 With an R?
No.
With a B?
G.
Oh, Grigita.
B.
There's like 19 letters there. It's a good name.
Brigida.
Okay. Right. Put it on there. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Do you keep the blues driver on?
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaili, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.